Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 189 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here. Zoe seems to be fairly uncontactable at the moment, so it's just me this week as I broadcast to you from Jebail in Saudi Arabia. So slightly different to normal. Coming up this week, we've got a very international feel to this week's show, I tell you that much, because we'll be talking to Ian Billings and Chris White, who are currently in Brunei. So we'll be hearing from them a little bit later on. We've also got music coming from Brighton, which is still quite exciting, in the shape of Common Tongues. Tom from the band joining us on the phone for a bit of a chat a little bit later on. Also, we'll be finding out about a brand new app for your phone that could find you work. Savango, Oliver West and Jamie Dunn will be on the line a little bit later on. But first of all, we go to the phones to a young lady who knows how to toss a pancake. It is Councillor Christine Mills, who has a very special event taking place in the Mayor's Parlour next week, don't you? Hello.
Hello.
You're a big fan, in your role as Mayor, of making money for your mayoral charities, aren't you?
Oh, yes, yes. They're very close to my heart, and we've been working from the whole of my mayoral year and continue up until May to raise as much money as possible for the charities.
So the event that I'm thinking of here, it got my attention because it is Pancake Day, Shrove Tuesday on the 12th, and this means
Yes. You're
getting your frying pan out.
Well, fortunately for everyone, it won't be me.
Oh.
I'll be there to help serve them, but not to cook them.
Okay, so you'll have the towel over the arm, full silver service style delivery of pancakes. So where does the event take place?
In the Mayor's Parlour, on the third floor in the Civic Centre.
So a nice way of doing it as well, and getting people into the Civic Centre and seeing... I've still never been in the Mayor's Parlour. I've spoken to so many mayors, still I have... And I've had invites, but I haven't made it in there. So what's special about the surroundings that's going to make it good for pancake eating?
Well, it's lovely for everyone just to come into the parlour, look at all the memorabilia, look at all the mayoral chains, everything that's on display in the parlour, and it makes it a lovely venue, gives people an opportunity to come in and hopefully enjoy their pancakes and tea or coffee.
So what varieties of pancake are on offer? Are we talking syrup here, or is there going to be a more traditional lemon and sugar?
Oh, they'll be able to have various sorts of lemon or and sugar or syrup, or there'll be one or two options, I'm sure.
And how much is it to come down and take part in this one?
It's £3.50, and that includes the pancakes and a cup of tea or coffee.
And
to be entertained by Steve Tovey, the city organist.
Oh, even better. So music and food. I like that idea.
Oh, yes.
And tell us a bit about the charities that are benefiting from this.
Well, my charities, the Wolverhampton branch of the Samaritans, Compton Hospice and Help for Heroes.
And all very, very deserving causes. And as you
said... Well, I think so.
There's been many, many events you've been doing for them so far. So Trove Tuesday is the next one. What else have you got going on?
Oh, we've got quite a variety of things after that. We've got a fish and chip supper on the 8th of March. That's at Linden House on the Tettnall Road. And that's not just a supper, that's musical entertainment from a wide range of young people from Wolverhampton. Then we've got on St Patrick's Day, we have St Patrick's full Irish breakfast. So that's always very popular, and traditional Irish entertainment as well.
So a lot of events with music and food in them.
Oh, yes, yes. We also have a vintage tea party in April. We have a St George's Day celebration and a grand fashion show also in April.
And a sponsored diet to try and lose the weight from all the other events, I'm guessing.
Well, yes.
That might work. So if people want to get along, first of all, to the Pancake Day thing, do they need to get tickets in advance and book their place?
Yes, if they contact the Mayor's Parlour in the Civic Centre to book their tickets, that would be great, yes.
And what phone number do we use for that?
Well, if they phoned the Civic Centre 556 556 and then asked for the mayoral suite, they'd put them straight through.
Okay, 01902 556 556 That's a Civic Centre number. Ask. Well, you can't ask for the mayor directly because Councillor Christine Mills will be a bit busy. But you can talk to the team there, and they will get you booked in, whether it be for those events or any of the others which are on the way. And
yes,
it'll be really good. Is there a website as well where people can look at what's going on?
Yes, there certainly is. The website that actually goes from the Wolverhampton one, and also there's you can email the mayor at wolverhampton.gov.uk.
And of course you're on Twitter and Facebook as well, and there's you and the team who are putting things on there, updating what's going on. And obviously it's a really busy year for you because you've not only got your duties as a councillor and the meetings that you have to go to, but all of these extra events as mayor. And this is your second term, isn't it, I think?
It is, yes.
And is it busier this time round than last time?
I think it's about the same, yes. The time's going very quickly, so it shows we must be busy.
I don't know how you fit it all in, to be honest, because whatever people think of their politicians and those running areas and countries, I know that obviously in Wolverhampton you're doing an awful lot of work to make sure everything runs as smoothly and as cost-effectively as possible. And when you're trying to do all of this as well as have an enjoyable year and raise money for charity, it can't be easy, particularly not in these sort of economic times either.
No, it isn't, but it's very enjoyable.
And hopefully very rewarding as well. Councillor Christine Mills, thank you for joining us. Have a great time on Shrove Tuesday. What time does it all take place?
10:30.
So it's a nice one in the morning. So if you maybe take an early lunch break, pop down and enjoy some pancakes.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Good speaking to you. I hope to catch up with you again soon.
And you.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Right, let's take our first song from our featured band this week. As I mentioned, they are Common Tongues. This is Solitary Thinker.
Solitary thinker, hey, you solitary thinker, wait. She's gonna hate you, you solitary thinker. Hate you, you solitary thinker. She is gonna hate you for you change. I said, hey, you solitary thinker. Keep your head down, thinking, keep your head down.
Solitary Thinker from Common Tongues, our featured band this week. And we're joined now on the phone by Tom from the group. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you.
So what's going on with the band at the moment? Because you had a single out last year, which we'll hear a bit later on. But the song we've just taken a listen to, Solitary Thinker, hits the shops on the 25th of February.
That's the lead single of our new record, Tether and End, that will be out in April. And we're really happy with it, actually. And it's got a cool video. If you can check it out online on YouTube or any of the massive social media sites that bands like us depend on.
What's what keeps you going? And it is the way you promote your music. And are you finding that you're getting a large number of followers, and is it working out really well? Because you're native to Brighton, aren't you?
Yeah, no, we're all living down here in Brighton. It's kind of like a bit of a musical mecca, really. But yeah, we notice actually that the more we play, the more our likes go up, and kind of, especially when we put something out, like a video for the single, then we notice the likes going up quite a lot.
And so how are you working on getting video production done? Do you have, is it something else you do within the band? So is it all very much a homegrown project? Or have you got people working outside of that for you?
Actually, Andrew, who plays violin in the band and keys, one of his friends, Chloe Rodham, is the lady that did the animation for this latest video. And she won a Red Bull Canimation Prize like a few years ago. So when we actually had the idea that we wanted to make the video about war, and we wanted to have like live action in it, but we only had a budget of, you know, a certain amount of money, and unfortunately you can't make a war masterpiece on a few hundred quid. So we decided to go down the animation thing because we thought we'd be able to get away with more, and yeah, it worked out really well. She's done a beautiful job.
And how do people get to see this video then?
It's already on YouTube, and I think it's doing the rounds in that sense. Like, we've got some good PR people that are kind of like they're helping the link to the video get around, and obviously everyone can have a look at it on commontongues.co.uk, like YouTube, Facebook, and all the music blogs and things like that are great to stick a link up to that video and that's kept down.
So are you on tour at the same time?
Well, I mean, we play quite a lot locally around here. Like, we've got a gig in Brighton on I think the 28th of the Limit Music Bar. So we're just kind of taking some time now, actually, to finish off some writing, and then we're back on tour in March, April sort of time. We loved it in Germany when we went over there, so we're going back there, I think.
It'll be good to work an album and actually do that properly on the road and bring the music to people, and hopefully they'll be buying copies then, whether it's in real life from you guys or from the download sites you can get the album from.
Yeah, we will be selling hard copies at our gigs as we tour, which will be great, because they come. We worked quite closely with an artist called Ollie Godwin, and Godwin Wallington, he's done some fantastic stuff that we've used for the artwork for the record, so I think it would be nice to be able to buy a physical copy and have that.
And we're going to take a listen to the single from last year as well, Jumping Ship. Tell us a bit about this one.
That's one of the first songs really that we brought to the band, me and Ollie, like, when the band was fairly new, actually. That was kind of the track that we thought was the most, catchy. That's kind of the wrong word, but yeah, it was very much our raise up that kind of song and see who salutes it kind of thing, and it's been a really good springboard to get us on to doing some other stuff like the Solitary Thinker, which is a little bit more down the avenue that we kind of write. There's quite a contrast between the two singles, actually.
Because obviously you and Ollie got together and formed the band, and you've been, what, friends from school?
Yeah, we've been friends we've known each other since we were about 6 or 7. And then we started writing maybe 5 years ago together when we lived back in Cambridge, and we moved down here because, you know, we'd heard that it was a really good play music, and unfortunately at the time Cambridge wasn't really that good, and we were struggling to find musicians, and so we came down here, and within a few months we'd kind of recruited the rest of the band, and that was it, really. And Jumping Ships was the first song that we kind of started working on, I think. And then, yeah, it became a single, and now a year later we've got another one. So, yeah.
Well, so good luck with the album that comes out in April. Enjoy the single release on the 25th of February. We shall look more forward to hearing more from you. And say good luck with the career and hopefully the global domination that follows.
Yeah, maybe not the global domination. We'd like to be able to build a career out of it, though. You know, it's hard as a musician.
Tom from Common Tongues, good luck. Give us the web address one more time.
The web address, it's commontongues.co.uk. Everything you can find is there.
Brilliant. Thanks for speaking to us, and say good luck with the single release later on this month.
Cheers.
Leave it on the best of wishes as I headed out the door. Build me up to come down to push me out, but I still got my hands dirty. I got a stark reminder of when I first did see those flames wrapped around a paper towel in my backyard when we were just
jumping ship from Common Tongues. Now, on the phone, live from Brunei, I have Ian Billings. Hello, sir.
Live from Brunei. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Just about. Ground control. Let's hope the line holds out. We were going to do this by Skype, but technology hasn't let us do that, unfortunately. But please tell us...
I love it.
Please tell us why you're in Brunei. Because last time we saw you, you were in Wolverhampton with us.
I was in Wolverhampton with you doing a little chat, and now I've been flung to the far-flung outpost of the British Empire, or what's left of it, to do a touring around schools with my good friend and compatriot, Mr. Chris White.
Hello!
There he is now. To visit schools, doing our poetry and our cartoons and our stand-up comedy, and we're having japes and jollity all around.
Now, Mr. White is somebody we've spoken to on the podcast completely separately to your good self. How did you two guys end up working together, and what brought this visit about?
How we got together. It was... I got the short straw, and he got the other end of the short straw. And we work for a company called Authors Abroad, and they send authors abroad. And we've come, this is our first tour we've ever done together. Mm-hmm. Usually we get sent off to various climes individually, places like Vietnam and Thailand and Kuala Lumpur. But now, Chris and I are here together as a double duo.
It sounds very interesting and different. How do they cope with your version of stand-up? Where maybe for them English isn't their first language.
Well, it's really interesting because over the years of doing this, I've kind of established a kind of international act that works on many levels and occasionally fails on many levels too. But it's a kind of English is a second language, but I keep it at a pace and within references they understand, and it's gone down brilliantly. We've done five schools, is it, Chris? Five schools, yeah, and it's gone down brilliantly. Chris has been okay too.
What's the most exciting bit of this been for you? Because I know you've been traipsing around jungles and meeting members of the royal family and all sorts.
Well. But finally, just yesterday, we were in the middle of the Borneo jungle.
Yeah.
As you do, we had ham sandwiches underneath a wonderful waterfall. And that's Chris doing an imitation of a waterfall now. Can you hear that? There you go. It is a very good waterfall. And, so we were up the jungle because a very kind teacher, traipsed, who we just met within half an hour and then took us up the jungle, took us into the deep, dark, deep depth of the Borneo jungle because that was our day off, which was glorious.
So you actually get days off as well?
We get days off for good behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just got one out of the 3 weeks for good behaviour. And a couple of weeks ago, we were up the river looking at proboscis monkeys and crocodiles and butterflies and Chrysura kingfisher.
It must be absolutely fantastic for you as well as for the kids that you're going to talk to as well.
Absolutely, because a lot of these international schools, albeit they may be massive places with lots of money, get very rare visits from people. So once a foreigner comes from the homeland, from blighty far away, that we look on us as sort of an alien who's landed, and they all come and look at us and poke us and want to touch our heads.
That's nice, I think. So what else do you have planned on this current trip?
Well, we're just finishing off now at the... we're at the British Military School in a place called... Where are we? KB. Syria. And we're at the British Military School in Brunei, which is called the Hornbill School. So we've got a week there. And then we get sent back to freezing Blighty to start doing our stuff around schools in the UK.
And much planned at the moment for you? Is there anywhere in Wolverhampton we should be looking out for you in the near future?
Oh, what a very good question. I wish I had my diary to hand, but I don't. I'm doing something in Warsaw at some point, I think, for a call. But beyond that, I can't give you much more detail. Christopher, however, is doing lots of exciting things, and I'm sure he'll be delighted to tell you about all his doings.
Hand the phone over then, would you please, sir?
Shall I hand you over to Chris?
Yes, please.
Chris? Chris?
Hello? Flush it. Hey, I'm ready.
Here we go. Hello there.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing, sir? You good?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. So, there you are. I know you happen to be sat towards the end of your day, cuddling your pet stuffed monkey and preparing for sleep. But what have you got going on at the moment?
What else have I got? Well, you know, I've had to wrangle Ian for, this is the third week now, which, I mean, forget all the performing and, you know, the reading, the drawing, all the hard work we've been doing. It's looking after Ian, which is...
You like his carer?
Yes. Well, yes, you've got it. I am pretty much full-time carer, billings wrangler. It's a tough job. somebody's got to do it.
And you were that man selected for this trip. But, I mean, from your point of view, how does it work? Because I know you do a lot of poetry, you've got your writing as well. Is Bitey the vampire, the vegetarian vampire, now pretty much internationally known?
Well, yeah, it's quite scary. Yes, who'd have thought? When, you know, I sat in my little bedsit 10 years ago, writing a little vegetarian vampire. I never thought, it's quite a scary thing, actually. Then you suddenly find yourself standing in front of all sorts of nationalities, about to launch into reading a poem, and think, you know what, I don't know if they're going to get this or not. And, you know, 9 times out of 10 they do. For instance, I mean, most of the children do speak English. I mean, I can remember, not on this trip, but a trip to, I think it was Qatar, where I was just about to start the assembly in front of, I don't know, 500 kids, and the teacher sidled up to me and said, oh, by the way, none of these kids speak English. Good luck. See you in an hour. you know.
Qatar.
What do? You get on with it.
You do. I was in Qatar a few weeks ago, and a lot. Obviously, I wasn't hanging around with kids, but in the workplace, many people spoke English.
Right. Oh, yes. Well, I don't know if I just found a pocket that didn't. I really don't know. But yeah, that was fun. And you were in Dubai as well, weren't you? We just missed each other there.
We did. I'm in Saudi Arabia at the moment, so if you want to pop across and say hi, it'd be much appreciated.
Okay. I think there's a bus. Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
I'll check the bus table.
That'd be fantastic.
Apparently, in this place in Brunei, apparently there is a taxi.
Well, just the one?
Taxi. Just the one. No, nobody's seen it. We've not seen it yet, but... Booking.
It might come past at some point. So we need websites to plug so people can find out when you're going to be performing a little more locally than Brunei.
Ah, right, okay. The website, mine will be, well, obviously, veggievampire.com.
Okay.
That's veggievampire.com. And Mr. Billings, I do believe, is ianbillings.co.uk, is it? Or is it .com? Sorry.
He looks like a .com man, come on.
He does look a bit like a .com, amongst other things, yes. So that's, yes, all our latest doings will be on there.
Well, it's good to know you've had a good time whilst you've been out spreading the word, literally, you know, scattering words all over the place. And it's been a bit of fun along the way too.
It has, yes. You tell people that you're going out to Brunei for 3 weeks, they just hear holiday. And it's not quite that.
Tell me about it. People assume that from my random travellings that it seems. You've been to Australia, but it wasn't for fun.
Yes, yes, I saw planes and hotels and that was it. Well, it's good fun as well, yes. Like I say, like Ian said, we've been, jungles, rivers, dinner.
Dinner's good. I like dinner.
It's been great.
Well, guys, have a safe journey back, and we look forward to having you back in the country fairly soon, and we shall be checking out your websites to find out what's happening and where people can see you doing your do.
Fantastic. We shall meet for cocktails back in Wolverhampton within the month.
Sounds like a plan. See you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye. 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 Goodbye.
Now it's time for an exclusive. We have another song from Common Tongues. Not heard anywhere else yet, taken from their brand new album. This is Cold as the Devil.
As the collar is opened and it floods my eyes, well, I can see a beginning in a brand new light. But at the foot of this river where we held our time, a traitor drop for an ocean, let the reborn fly. Cold as the devil, cut the tether, the twine. It's a shield, it's a shield, it's a shield.
Cut the tether, the twine. Cold is the devil, cut the tether, the twine.
go, an exclusive from Common Tongues, fantastic, called As the Devil. Really enjoying the music, great to hear from them. And now we go back to the phones, where we have not one but two people. First of all, somebody we know, Jamie Dunn. Hello, sir, how are you?
Hello, hello, hello. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am very well, thank you very much. And also we have on the line from sunny Birmingham, Oliver West. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Now, Oliver, this is really your brainchild, but you've got Jamie involved in this one too, because you've got a brand new app that's available online called Savango. Please tell us more.
Savango is effectively a task outsourcing service, but that's really the jargon way of talking about it. What it really allows an individual to do, create a listing, which is basically a task or something that they need doing. So, for example, if you're somebody that needs maybe 2 hours of cleaning done on a Saturday morning, you effectively create that listing, and all the people in the local area download the app, have a look and see what needs doing around them, and they can respond accordingly. So it's a way of making your life easier, and it's also a way for local people in the community to get involved with things that need done and earn some extra cash.
So it is cash that people are looking for here. It maybe isn't trading services, which would be another option.
It is an option within the app. We do have sort of a rent and swap category. So, for example, if you wanted to sort of trade that way, you could. But it's really just a vehicle for sort of getting people together in a local community to interact in a way that we haven't done yet.
When it comes down to an app like this, is it going to skew the sort of people who are maybe downloading and looking at it? So you might not get that many people who are a little older. They're all going to be fairly young people who might be interested in downloading the app and getting to use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's at the moment, it's just on the iPhone, so it's very much a sort of a... It's a tech-savvy kind of person's application, but what we've found is that the demographic of people that use sort of iPhones and sort of engage in that app sort of interaction, it's actually quite broad. You know, we've been running advertising campaigns from everything from sort of 18 to 55 and found there's a pretty good spread of sort of ages and things like that and people that have been getting involved.
Now, Jamie, obviously you're at the slap bang in the middle of a normal demographic of somebody who's going to use an iPhone. You're what now, 21?
I am. I turned 21 last week.
Yeah, so happy birthday for last week. And what's your involvement in this project? Because you have your finger in many, many pies.
Oh, well, definitely. I think I couldn't just eat one pie, to be honest. I like different flavours. So I met Ollie a couple of months ago through a kind of a mutual introduction. I got to know a little bit more about the project. I saw a bit of a youth angle in terms of helping young people develop skills whilst also making a bit of cash as well. And so again, with a lot of the involvement that I have within different educational systems around the world, one of the things that they really focus on is young people developing skills within a local environment, talking to local people, developing transferable skills when they go for work. It's something to add onto their CV. And I thought actually Savango is a fantastic tool that allows people to do tasks in their local community and build up a bit of rapport, build some friendship, build some friends, build a bit of contacts and networks, as well as developing some soft skills like attending and doing your task on time, being very punctual with it, as well as making a couple of quid for your efforts as well.
So is there actually, in effect, a minimum rate that people will be tending to ask for this work? Or is it really down to you putting forward what you think is the going rate for your talents?
I think everyone finds their own value in their time. And everyone sort of finds their own value in sort of what their time's worth. So it's very much a question of if you have a certain amount of time and a certain set of skills, you know, it's up to you sort of really to figure out what's worth it for you, really.
And if people are obviously taking cash for this, how does that work as far as them then having to pay tax and national insurance on this sort of income?
The taxes and stuff like that is definitely down to the individual. And we were very careful in our terms and conditions to make it clear that we're effectively a vehicle. I mean, none of the people completing tasks work for us or associated with us in any sort of agency capacity. So it's just a question of you declaring your income the same way you would with anything else, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of things done in sort of a local area, especially from a services and trade sort of skills perspective, that is paid in cash. And it's up to the individual, just in the same way it would be if they found each other through the Yellow Pages or on Google, for example.
So it is a vehicle for, here's an advert and this is the people that I'm looking for, or who I want to sell myself as, and these are the services that are on offer. And when it comes down to the person then putting their details in, is there a charge and a cost for them for actually taking part in advertising their services through you?
At the moment, it's free to either create an ad saying sort of who you are and what you do, or to post a task. At the moment, we're just in sort of the beginning phases, so we wanted to create some traction, basically, in a local area to find out sort of where the best places for any charges would be. But at the moment, it's a completely free marketplace, which just gives us the best chance and gives people in an area the best opportunity to just get involved. And once they've got involved, you know, they can tell us what they think. And so as we move forward, there will end up being some sort of monetization and charge there. But at the moment, it's just completely open and completely free, which is the best way to start out, in our opinion.
Well, I suppose you're also then maybe able to take advertising as well for other products and services. If people want to be seen on something which they know is being used by people throughout not only an area, but the country and globally.
No, exactly, yeah.
How do people get hold of the app then? Because I take it that is a free download.
It's available on the App Store, which is obviously used to it through the iPhone App Store, and you just search for Savango and it should be free to download for you there. And we also have further information and a link to the App Store landing page, which is on our homepage at savango.com.
And Jamie, do you have a profile on there? Are you offering your services available to people for hire?
Well, literally, one of the things that I'm going to do, and I definitely need to do this in the next couple of hours, is actually, one, get an iPhone.
Yeah, you definitely need to get hold of one of those.
So I need to get myself an iPhone, and then I think one of the things I'm definitely going to do is get somebody round weekly to come and start cleaning my apartment, because it is a nightmare on a Sunday.
Certainly, it depends on how you value your time and what you want to do with it, because I know how hard you work, so for you, it's worth a few quid to take you out of that vicious circle of making sure you get the bits off the floor.
Well, I think that's the thing, and I think that's one of the great uses of Savango, is for types of busy people that have busy, demanding careers that take up a lot of their time. So to come home and having to come home, do your washing, your ironing, your cooking, your cleaning, all that sort of stuff. And there's very simple things that people kind of almost take for granted is key, and that's one of the certain uses that I'm going to be getting out of the app.
So if you do have a need for some extra cash and some time on your hands, or if you don't have any time on your hands and you need someone to help you out with a product or service, Savango from the App Store for your iPad or iPhone, and you could be making some money. Well, thank you guys for joining us. Good luck with the application, and hopefully great things will come from all of this.
Appreciate your time, Jason. Thanks for having us.
Now, before we go, I have tracked somebody down to have a little chat with, Miss Zoe Turner. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Absent again, unfortunately. You didn't even pop into the studio, which I've built in the buildings of Tig Tesco, the agent of Hydratide here in Saudi Arabia. You could have come over.
I could have done. That would have been nice. Is it warm?
It is actually quite warm. We did have rain the other day, but on the whole, quite pleasant out here, so not too bad.
Oh, that's good.
So what have you been up to this week? Even though we're finishing the show, I might as well check with you.
Oh, gosh, yes, it's been really busy.
Moving boxes still for the shop.
That's all done now, all sorted.
Oh, that's good. Glad to hear it. And now, hopefully, we'll both be able to get into the studio next week, okay?
Oh, definitely, yes.
Fingers crossed. So what I'll do is I'll let you sign off the show this week. So I think you'll need those magical words that we always let you say last.
What do you mean? Oh, bye-bye.
That'll be the one. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.